allowed this today. And I see why also with us going out into the public this Saturday and the Saturday after, and or Friday after, and then shortly after that another Saturday. I think God would have us to understand exactly the mindset of what we're facing. Amen. What the need is. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is leading us, but he also has the wisdom in this word that I just want to take a few moments to bring some out. You will pray with me. Father, we come to you right now by the authority in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, help frailness today, Lord. Help inability, Lord, with your grace. Lord, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit that abides in this church and in us that have our faith exclusively in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we love you for what you've already done here today. And Lord, we thank you for so awesome what you're going to do. Lord, you said eyes have not seen, nor has even ears really heard, and even in put into the heart of man what you've really prepared for us, Lord. But as a church, we thank you for it, Lord. We go after it, Father. Lord, and help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We cry out, we need you today, Father. And more importantly, there's souls out there that need you, Lord. They're crying to you. And Father, we just thank you, Father, by the authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You would turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. And we're going to talk about idolatry today, not to be confused with adultery. Of course, that would be a good one. But adultery. Idolatry. See, now I'm messing up. We're going to talk about idolatry. And it's very important because one thing, as a person that has a passion for souls, and I'm sure we all do, there's actually two battlegrounds today. And I'm sure somebody will be a witness to it. It's not just the unsaved. And boy, we can talk about that. But there's another battleground for Christians, amen? People that love God, people that, like we're going to go and talk about Lazarus, that are in a tomb of unbelief and doubt, amen? And God has a word for him to come out of that tomb. He's going to use our lips, church, amen? I sense his presence even now. He's going to use our lips to bring forth a harvest, amen? Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. But in verse 20, it says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Thank God for understanding, amen? Because some people don't got it, amen? Sometimes we take this revelation of the cross, and if you're not one that sets under it, and if you're listening by CD, if you have a church or are in reach of a church that preaches the uncompromising message of Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, you got to thank God that there's understanding, amen, that there's bread, amen, there's drought season and there's rain that has come, amen. We can read this word and hear about droughts, and we can understand that's not in our life. It's maybe not be talking about a physical drought, but how many of you know there's times when we've had spiritual drought, amen? I've lived under spiritual drought for so long, but when the gospel, the true unadulterated gospel came, how many of you know it felt like food, amen? How many of you know it felt like rain, amen? And he's talking about understanding, glory to God. He said, but we have understanding that we may know him who is true. Thank you, Lord. It's talking about Jesus, if you don't know. Not Barack, hallelujah. Not the other guy, McCain, but him who is true. And we are in him, glory to God, who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. In 21, where we want to go, little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. And as you're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 11, where we're going to camp for a while, John chapter 11. He said, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Keep yourself from idols. How does that apply to me? I go home, I might not have a Buddha on my counter. If you've got one, you need to really get rid of it, okay? But you don't have to have a Buddha on your counter to have idols. Amen. If you say, well, I don't bow down to incantations and, you know, serve Middle Eastern gods. That's not talking about me. I beg to differ, child of God. He's talking about idols, amen. Anything that gets between you and Jesus Christ, amen. Anything that's hindering this glorious message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's wrapped up in the law, amen. It's wrapped up in religion, hallelujah. And it comes in many faces, and it's called idols, hallelujah. We're going to go to John chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 3. I'm going to condense this for the sake of time. But if you follow me, I believe God really wants to bless us today. Amen. Let's start at verse 3. And we're on the scene where there's death in a family. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And there's death. Hallelujah. How many know death is an ugly word? Death is anything that's separated from its environment. Amen. And death is showing up on these people's doors. And when we get into this part of the passage, he's not dead yet. How many of you know you can know when you're sinking? Amen. How many of you know family and friends around you know when you're sinking? How many of you know when we go out here into Springfield, there's going to be people that are sinking? Amen. They're not dead yet. Some are dead, and they'll get raised too. Hallelujah. But some are in various stages of this death. Amen. There's various stages, and they know. And there's family and friends that have loved ones that are about to die. And this is the type of the prayer life of a Christian. And here's what she says. This beautiful sister says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Amen. And how many of you know one of the things of intercessory prayer is we take God and remind him, you love us. Amen. How many of you remember in Genesis when Abram went down and said, God, would you spare it for this many? And he said, okay. Would you spare it for this many? And this is the type of someone saying, going to God and pleading, oh God, the one you love. How many of you know for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, amen. And I'm here to tell you, this applies to you, child of God. This applies to the people we're going to run into. This applies to anybody that's in anybody. Somebody's been praying, amen. I know my life to this day is a direct result of a praying mother and a direct result of a praying grandmama. And we're going to run into people, amen, that have got people praying on. That's why they're there. Amen. We may have fell short in prayer at this church. I think we all do if we get real with it. Ain't nobody a prayer giant. Hallelujah. But there are people out there that God's got praying. Amen. There's a young man on drugs and alcohol whose mother is saying, Lord, please drag him to the foot of the cross. And here we show up right there at the right time. Amen. There's somebody that's suicidal. Amen. And their auntie's saying, Lord, please help this one. And they walk right into us while we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is the same picture. She says, the one who you love is sick. He wasn't dead. Keep that in mind. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Hallelujah. That's the place where you could have shouted, you guys. Let me tell you something. You think that your financial dilemma is for you to go under, but it's not. Amen. You think because you're still struggling in Samaria that it's for your demise, but it's not. Jesus is setting you up because when we go farther in the story, you're going to find out that there's some people that's going to see it. Amen. He's setting you up to be a testimony. Amen. And there's people that are going to run into us that are being set up for a testimony. Amen. And they need to know that. Amen. They need to know that you were on drugs and alcohol. You were a liar. It don't got to just be drug heads. Amen. We talk about them so much. But how many of you know people on Wall Street are big-time alcoholics? Amen. How many of you know you can think you got it and you can be the worst one? Why? Because your self-deceit will make you think, I don't need God. God doesn't fit in my life. Amen. And kids are suffering. Wives and husbands are suffering because they put jobs and things in front of the priority that God set. But how many of you know it's not unto death? Amen. They need to know. You're struggling. Amen. But God has not allowed you to die. This is just for God's glory. Hallelujah. And they say, well, how do you know? Because we're standing in front of your face. That's why we know. God calls this. Glory to God. And we need to know this, church. But he said, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man, Son of God, might be glorified. Amen. Ain't nobody getting the glory but Jesus. Amen. Because when you've tried every 12-step program, when you've tried every self-help book, when you went through the grocery store and you tried to deal with this insecurity that's in you and you cry at night, this is what people are feeling. Why would anything take this from me that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, might be glorified? He's going to make a testimony out of you. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And he had heard, therefore, that he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I want to hone in on this point. Sometimes God don't move as fast as we want. And somebody needs to hear this today. We pray. We say, God, this one you love, me here, is hurting. And oh boy, he's going to move, but he waited 2 more days. Why did he wait 2 more days? He's setting you up, is what I'm trying to tell you. Amen. Don't get weary in well-doing. Amen. Don't get weary on the message of the cross. Amen. Don't get weary where your faith is placed. Sometimes it don't come in the same day. He might wait 2 days because it's going to get more mileage out of it. Amen. He can get 10 other people saved if he just waits and holds on. Amen. But you got to stay still. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than your amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go to verse 9. Now let's keep on going. 7. Then after that, said he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and you are going there? I want to hone in on that. Let me tell you something. There's nothing you've done too deep for the grace of God. Hallelujah. God will hunt you down like a heat-seeking missile. Hallelujah. You ain't bad enough to beat God. Hallelujah. I don't care what you did. And I don't care who we talk to. You may say, I'm burdened. I'm struck with all this guilt. And I go to bed seeing faces. Guess what? The power of God is greater. You may say, well, I've done too much. I've wronged everybody that loved me. Guess what? The power of God is greater. Hallelujah. You may say that my financial dilemma is too great. Let me tell you something. The power of God is greater. Whatever it is, he can raise you from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He'll go into those places. He'll go in. Hallelujah. Say, he's going to go there. That's the hood. He's going to go. Jesus ain't afraid of the hood. Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't afraid of your misery. Hallelujah. Jesus ain't afraid of the stinking thinking that's in your life. Jesus don't care nothing about that. He wants to set somebody free. And once you get him started, you get the Holy Ghost on a missile. Oh, my God. He is going to do something. Hallelujah. And he's going to do something in Springfield. Amen. Can I get an amen? Are you ready? Hallelujah. Are we ready to see Springfield? Hallelujah. Get touched by a real move of God. Hallelujah. Well, I think he's rolling his sleeves up. Glory to God. But it says in verse 8. No, let's go to 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? Pardon me, saints. I'm going to go down to verse 11. These things said he. And after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps. Go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Let me tell you something. That sleep you're going to find in the next verse meant death. They didn't understand it. Where did he get this understanding that Jesus is dead? I'm not Jesus, that Lazarus was dead. Let me tell you something. God knows your address, amen. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And one understanding when you're going through hard times that I'm just learning. I ain't got it licked. Don't let me present something false that I'm not walking in. But let me tell you what I'm starting to learn, if I can say it that way. He understands where I'm at. Let me tell you something. I'm not going through this thing alone. Somebody needs to hear that today. You may say, man, I feel so lonely. You're not alone. Jesus knows exactly what's going on. He constructed this issue for his glory. You just don't understand it yet. Oh, he's with you. Hallelujah. He's with you. He's with you, and he knows if you're dead. He knows if death has arose. And you say, oh, this hurts. I can't take many more blows. Let me tell you something. He knows. He knows. And if we understand that he knows, that's the first start. Because the God I serve, if he knows I'm hurt, he's going to do something about it. Hallelujah. He's going to do something about it. Glory to God. And it says in verse 12, then said he, said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. How many of you know sometimes God's got to talk to us straight talk? Sometimes we get caught up in nice wording and we hear great messages and we miss the point. Sometimes Jesus wants to tell you, you're dead, amen? And how many of you know that's the message we got to tell people too? Amen, you're dead, hallelujah. It's wrong to be a homosexual, hallelujah. It's sin, hallelujah, to be a drunkard. And it's not saying this cocky and arrogantly, but Jesus said he's dead. Hallelujah. We can say with confidence, if you're not focused on Jesus Christ and him crucified, you are dead. I know there's hurt. I know you're crying at night. I don't have to have seen it. It's common sense, amen, as a Christian that understands the cross. So you can look that person in the eye and say you're dead, amen. But don't stop there. Don't leave them dead, amen. But I come to give you life. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus said he's dead. Amen. And as believers, we've got death. We have areas where we wonder, why is my finances going down? Why is I thought I did everything. Why do I still feel so alone in this? I thought I did everything. And my body is, it feels like I'm going to have to get another chemo. You know, why? Well, there's some death, but he's setting you up, child of God. You can smile on this. Hallelujah. Where are we at? Let's go to verse 15. And I am glad. Oh, my God. This is shouting time. He said, I am glad for your sake that I was not there. No, let's go up to 14. You got to hear this. You got to hear the whole thing. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. How can Jesus be glad that he was not there? I'm glad you went bankrupt. I'm glad you got hooked on drugs back when you was 17 or 18. I'm glad you fell for homosexuality when you was whatever. I'm glad you got so lonely that you went into self-help mediums. How could God say you're glad? Oh, but he said, because I'm setting you up. I'm going to use you and dangle you in front of somebody. Somebody's going to see the freedom and the deliverance. Amen. So don't just wear a frown. You can wear a smile. I might be struggling right now, but I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's going to bring me out. And it's not just for my glorification, but somebody else is going to get glorified in it too. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what he's saying. I'm glad I wasn't there. Because if he was there, he probably would have rose him up. But he said in verse 16, let's go to 17. I'm trying to condense this for us. Then when Jesus came, he found that he was laying in the grave 4 days already. Now let me tell you something about 4 days. They say 3 is bad. 4, you are definitely cooked. Amen. And that's part of the setup, too. He didn't want there to be no mystery. And sometimes we that have testimonies, and I'm not one to give Satan glory. Sometimes you can give a testimony, and it seems like you're giving more glory to Satan than you are to God, especially if you don't come and say, but look what he did in the end. But you know what? Sometimes people need to see, I was good and cooked. Amen. And I was good and a liar. I was a good liar. You know what I'm saying? I was so self-centered. I didn't love nobody but me. Amen. Make it plain. Amen. Make it plain. I was messed up because he left him 4 days. He wants them to see. This is a picture he's painting. And it's a picture of how powerful he is. Hallelujah. That's where it's going. It ain't got nothing to do with the man. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. But it says in verse 18, now Bethany was near to Jerusalem. Let's go down to 21. 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would have not died. There it is again. If you would have been there, why? When you stand in the front of the Son of Man. I mean, sometimes we look at this mountain of bills. Boy, God, if I wouldn't have made that left turn back in 1987, I wouldn't have had this dilemma in my face. But it ain't like he changed from being God. He's still God. He'll raise me up now. Amen. And that's the ideal here. He's saying, look, I didn't have to be there. But our posture is, Jesus, if you would have did it then. And it's really unbelief is where we're going. Hallelujah. And he said, but I know, she said, but I know, even now, whatsoever you will ask God, God will give it to you. She's missed something. He is God. And that sounds real smooth and sweet. But God, you can do anything. Man, let me tell you something. He will do anything. Amen. Ain't no way you can if you really want to. Nah, she needs to understand something. We need to understand something. Church, Jesus Christ will raise you from that condition. Amen. It's not an issue of can he? Well, maybe he should have. If you get your faith right, amen, and you say, I'm sick and tired of this condition, I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ, it was dealt with on Calvary, let me tell you something, the Holy Spirit will move and will fix that situation. Amen. And he says in verse 23, Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Hallelujah. That's the message. Your situation will rise again. He's not done using you. You may have backslid last night. It ain't over. Hallelujah. You may have thought you backslid last night. It's not over. You may have took a left turn when you should have turned right. It's not over, child of God. And there's going to be people that's going to come. And they thought that God gave up on them. He said, it's not over. You shall rise again. Hallelujah. And you're only going to rise again if Jesus gets the glory out of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel God's anointing. Thank you, Jesus. 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. There's that fight. Do you see the fight we have with God? There's a fight, and this passage clearly illustrates the fight. And we're going somewhere about idols still. I ain't forgotten. But there's a fight that God deals with mankind. And we're going to speak against it when we get in front of people. But the fight is man's unbelief and his self-centeredness and, oh, you could have, and God saying, do you see who I am? I left an estate, came down here where thugs were. They don't like me here. I left out of my condition just for you. And you still don't see it. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we miss the forest for the tree. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Woo! Boy, he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. God said if anybody, I don't care how foul you think you are. I don't care what your sin is called. Jesus said if you believe, you shall rise. Hallelujah. We're talking about a God that has pardons. Amen. I did some time. Some people know. Amen. It don't mean nothing really, but it proves one thing. Anytime I go to apply for a job, they look at my past. How many of you know Jesus said, I shall rise? Hallelujah. He's not holding it against me. He don't care what I did. He's looking at what he did. Glory to God. So let's get off of what we've done and look at what Jesus has already done. Somebody give God a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 26. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall not die. My God, do you believe this? And that's the question. Do we believe this? Do you believe this? If you're listening by a CD, do you believe this? Hallelujah. Verse 27, she said unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which comes into the world. Something happened when God spoke directly to her like that. See, sometimes he's got to show us something. Amen. I believe she got a heart change. Amen. She took me from, God, you can do it. Oh, yeah, you can do it. Hallelujah. You are him. Hallelujah. Verse 28. Let's go to 32. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, this is a new sister. It was Martha, now it's Mary. If you would have been here, my brother had not died. Now he got to go back to the same unbelief he's trying to get him out of. He's got a fresh one. Boy, God is long-suffering, ain't he? How many times has he done it on me? My God, he's still doing it. Oh, my God, he's back to the same old problems. If you could have been there, and here starts again. You know, and it says, if you would have been here, my brother had not died. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I want to stop there. I asked the Lord what that meant, and this is what he gave me. And I've heard several interpretations. He groaned because he had to raise up Lazarus, and he even had to do that. But here's what the Lord showed me. We all know Jesus came to destroy sin. The Son of Man come to destroy the works of the enemy. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God who come to take away the sin of the world. Amen. That's his function. Amen. Because sin is our problem. It's not yet his day to shine. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's not yet his day to do the big thing. Amen. But here's the effects of sin. How many know the effects of sin is devastating? Sin rapes kids. Amen. Sin makes people put guns in people's heads and pull triggers. The results of sin being in this world will leave a baby at home with no parents there. How many of you know that hurts the heart of God? And Jesus is groaning because now it's affecting personal life. And it's not yet his time to shine. Oh, but he's about to do a little something a little ahead of time. Amen. Because I see a Jesus with his lip kind of moving like this. I know when I get frustrated, you can normally tell because my breathing changes a little bit and my lip will start doing like this and people start to calm me down. Hold on, my heart, forget. Flip. I see a frustrated Christ. I see it, but angry but not sinning. Amen. A righteous anger. Because sin, which is the whole reason I'm here. Satan have done such a muck on these people on this earth, and now it's touching my family. Oh, I'm sick of it. Unbelief hits me everywhere I turn. They don't even understand that I don't want them dead. He's crying right now, and he's groaning in the spirit for your situation. We just don't realize he doesn't want us to buckle under financial dilemma. He doesn't want us to buckle because we're insecure. He doesn't want us to buckle under the pressure of Satan when he talks to our minds and people hear voices and people really struggle with things. Amen. He's frustrated. He's rolling his sleeves up. He's saying, I've got to do something. I can't take it anymore. Hallelujah. Verse 34, and said, where have you laid him? Take me to him. Straightway, amen. Take me to him. Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Continue. Personal, amen. Personal. How many of you know when you cry, God's crying at night? Amen. You may be a young person listening. When you're hurt, he's hurt. When people pick on you, he sees it. Amen. You may be an adult getting picked on at the workplace. You know he's hurting every time. He's crying when you're crying. Amen. He's not just sitting there not looking at this. He feels it. Amen. He feels it. Verse 36 says, then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. This was deeper. The Jews missed it, really. Because sometimes we don't really understand what we have in our presence. We think, oh, it's just, oh, Jesus, you really loved him, and he's crying. No, Jesus is groaning. Hallelujah. There's a difference between a cry and a groan. Amen. He's groaning in the spirit. How many of you have your spirit groan when you look at what's going on out here in this world? Amen. That's why we're going out to Springfield. Somebody, the Holy Spirit's got somebody groaning. Amen. Michelle got a groan in her heart. Amen. She said, I can't take it anymore. Somebody's got to go. Amen. That's that groan that drives you. It makes you get up out of the seat and you say, I'm going to see it, but I can't take it anymore. That's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And Jesus is groaning. Where is he at? It's not yet my day to show deity, but I've got something I can still do through faith. Amen. And he says, Jesus wept. Verse 36, and the Jews said he just loved him. 37, and some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should have not died? They don't even understand. This is divine planning. You're in your situation, not because God's not able. See the unbelieving Christian that doesn't understand how this thing works will tell you, God ain't real. Why do you think it hurts so bad? God loved you. Would you be in this situation? Oh, yeah. My steps are ordered of the Lord. Amen. My faith is right. I'm where I'm supposed to be. Amen. And if my faith's not right, I'm going to hear a word that's going to correct me. Brother Paul's going to say, brother, that don't sound right. Amen. My brother back here say, Mahari, something's off. Hear one of our great pastor's words, say something to convict. Amen. We're in the right place. If you're going through something, I want you to know, if you're holding on to Christ, you hold on. Amen. You hold on to Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't worry what people say. If God was really real, why are you going through it? If God's really real, why is your church so small? Guess what? We're going through something for a reason too. Amen. He could fill this place up right now. But it's not for us right now. It might be next week after we do the thing. But who knows? Amen. We don't worry about that. We keep our faith right. Hallelujah. Where are we at? 37? 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. And here's what all this laid a foundation to get to. Here at this juncture lies death in a tomb. And that death can be people dying. It could be your situation. It could be my situation. It could be a plethora of things. You've got Jesus on the outside. Amen. The Son of God. The message of Jesus Christ crucified hitting your ears week after week or on a momentary moment when we go out. Amen. It could be the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that we hail is so able to do whatever. But then you've got between the two is a rock, is a stone. That's what idolatry is. It's a perfect picture of idolatry. What's between us in the power of God? What are we hiding behind? Amen. And what's holding the stone? A church member. Somebody who's trying to do the right thing. Amen. We're going to see something. Follow me, church. Hallelujah. Follow me. In verse 39, and Jesus said, take away the stone. Jesus is ready. He's still got his sleeve rolled up, by the way. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. For he hath been dead for 4 days. More unbelief. More unbelief. If Jesus tells you to roll the stone away, the proper response is, oh, but it stinks in there. What does that say? If I move it, what if it don't work? Amen. Why do you think people turn to marketing schemes to fill up a church? Because they're afraid of what we have here. What if it don't work? You're going to see the stench that I'm really nothing but a sinner. Amen. And I'm trying to put and present to this world that we've got all the bells and whistles. We've got all the glamour. Maybe you're listening to this message and you've presented to the world a form of godliness, but it denies the power, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you've heard people prick your heart and say, you should roll that stone away. But if I roll the stone away, what do I have? People will hate me. I lose fans and members of my church. The clique that's around me won't like me. Jesus is saying, roll the stone away. Amen. That stone can be a plethora of things. Amen. That stone could be your fear from the idol of cliques. God wants you to roll that stone away. I've got new friends for you. But if I roll this stone away at the workplace of cliques, what do I have? I won't have anybody to talk to. Praise God, maybe. But he's saying, roll the stone away. I don't know what the stone is for you, but we need to all examine. What's my stone? Where's the idol? What's clogging up the law? It's because Jesus can do it. Amen. It's not on his end. There's something we've got in the middle, and we're hiding behind it to get rid of the stench, the stink. Because behind it, if you really see what's really going on, you'll find out that I'm not really all that I said I was. Amen. But that's when you're about to get victory. When you can admit. Amen. Glory to God. That's another message. Let's keep going. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said unto him, "Lord, at this time it stinks. It's been 4 days." Verse 40, Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God?" Don't be afraid to push it past. And there's a church out there that's going to hear us that have not yet rolled the stone away. Amen. They're still behind a form of godliness, but denying the power. Hallelujah. Verse 41, I'm coming to a close. Then they took away the stone. Praise God. Oh, my God, if you turn away from selfish religiosity, amen, you turn away from the law, if you turn away from denominationalism, amen, people hide behind a denomination. Why? Because if I don't have the denomination, well, what covering do we have? How about Jesus Christ? How about that for a covering? You know what I'm saying? But what it'll reveal, he said, roll the stone away. But if you do, look what happens. Oh, my God. Something's about to happen. He said, see the glory of God. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the stone had laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." See, this was all. Jesus is the only one that could do a show. Man ain't supposed to put on a show. But Jesus is putting on a show, y'all. And he said this, and I'm sure he did it so they could hear. "And I know you hear me always. But because of the people which stand by." See, God wants some people to stand by when your deliverance comes. Amen. That's why you've been going through. That's why you've been struggling. Lord, somebody needs to get excited about this. This is why you've been hurt. Why is it taking that extra 2 days? Lord, I prayed a while back and you just now moved. Why? Oh, somebody needs to see it. Hallelujah. And it said, "And I know you hear me always, but because the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me." With a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Hallelujah. And he's crying to us, "Come forth." If you're feeling the tugging in your heart, he's saying, "Come out of that tomb. Move that stone." And he who was dead came forth. Woo-wee! How many of you remember when you came from the dead? How many of you know when you was at the end of your rope and thought you had no hope? Amen. When the gospel first came to you, how did that feel? This has got to be what he felt like. And he who was dead came forth. When we go out here on this town square, y'all, he who is dead is going to come forth. Hallelujah. Not because of us, but because the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He who is dead is going to come forth. Glory to God. And it said, he was there, covered, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Face was bound with a napkin, and said, "Loose him and let him go." I love that part. Because when you come from the grave, guess what? You may have your grave clothes still on. They're not going to be dressed for the occasion. Amen. They're not going to be ready for a proper Pentecostal service. Amen. They might stink a little bit. Amen. Somebody still might got the old talk. Amen. Of complaints and not so thankful. Amen. But guess what? He who is dead came forth. Somebody give God a hand. He who's dead is going to come forth. And when they come forth, bound like this, I could see Lazarus probably hopping. Glory to God. He probably started shouting and praising him. Amen. And when people get like that and they get around religious people, what's the first thing they do? "I don't. Why is this guy? He was drunk. He was an alcoholic. And oh, this guy was a liar. He cheated. This guy messed with children. And oh, this guy, you know." I bet Lazarus could care less. Like, "I'm going to shout and praise God. I'm getting out of these grave clothes. I don't care if you like me, if you don't like me. Glory to God." And that's what happens. Because when you come from the dead, let me tell you something. It don't matter what people think. Amen. I could care less what somebody thinks. I was hurting too bad, stuck in sin. I was hurting too bad, trusting religiosity, having this big old rock in front of me. And when the gospel finally came and I said, roll the stone away, I'm done, it don't work. How many of you know I could care less what somebody thinks? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the last verse, a couple of verses, I think, 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and have seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Two things happened. Somebody's going to believe Jesus Christ, and here's the other. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told the things which they had done in the street. We call them haters. It means they're jealous. They want you to be bound like I am. Because how many know misery really loves company? That demon spirit don't want you to come out. But I want to say one thing as I'm closing. If it's for people that's going to listen, just to get an understanding of what death really, to remember what the death feels like. And to remember, that's one thing. But how many know if we've got death? Some of us have still some areas. It doesn't mean you don't love God. We get preached the true gospel, so I don't have to labor that point. But what it does mean is, if you roll the stone which is hindering the flow from Jesus Christ, the message of the cross, the law of the Spirit, from getting to that death, because somebody prayed 6, 7, 10 verses back. Somebody interceded. It could have been you. You may have prayed, Lord, help me. I can't take it anymore. Oh, he heard you. He's there with you. And he knows. Amen. Please bow your head. Father, I thank you right now by the authority in the name of Jesus. Lord, for the word. Lord, I thank you for the stories. Lord, the story, and even Brother Lazarus, which came forth, Lord. I thank you for the ability to hold on and endure hardness as a good soldier, your word says. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. Our prayer life is nothing without you. Our waiting life for the miracle to manifest is nothing without you. And we can't even walk out the tomb without you. We need you. Help us. Hallelujah. And we receive it by faith. Now, Father, everybody under the sound of my voice, Lord, just burn in a fresh faith, Lord God, a fresh ability to push away that stone of idolatry, Lord, which you said in 1 John, my children, don't give place to idolatry. Get rid of it. Move it away. Lord, we love you today. And I thank you for this church that freely allows the gospel to go forward. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Paul.